Good morning and welcome to Live from FM 91, conversation and performance with some of the area's finest musicians and visiting guest artists. I'm your host, Brad Cresswell, and today we have singers and creatives from Toledo Opera's production of South Pacific. It opens Friday, February 14th on Valentine's Day at 7:30 p.m., and there's a matinee on Sunday, February 16th at 2 p.m. You can find more information at ToledoOpera.org. And Toledo Opera is a sponsor of programs on WGTE. So I'd like to welcome, say hello to Claire Lydon, who is performing the role of Nellie Forbush, yeah?
That's right.
Yeah, welcome to you. Welcome to Keith Fairs, who's been on the program before. Describe your role for me.
Wow. Well, you know, the first
out of
word,
the gate. The fresh the, out of the gate.
The first word that comes to mind, he wants to live his life.
Yeah.
Don't
we all?
He killed a man. He killed a man righteously, we believe, but had to flee, or else he would have been locked up. And
right.
he ends up in the middle of, he runs away to a cargo boat, ends up in the South Pacific, in the middle of the South Pacific, and is determined to build a life for himself.
Yeah. And what is his name?
Emile Debeck.
Yes. With a full accent and everything, right? All right. And we also have the director of Toledo Opera, James Norman, who is directing this show here. Hello, James.
Good morning, Brad.
And we also have the conductor, Ernest Green. Hello, Ernest.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
And at the piano, we have Kevin Bilsma. So welcome to all of you. We've got a big crowd here, but we have some interesting questions, I think. And first of all, what people want to know is, what is South Pacific about? Where did it come from? What can you tell us about this musical, James?
Well, this was written by the great Rodgers and Hammerstein. It opened on Broadway in 1949 and won a Pulitzer Prize. And it is actually the Broadway show that has won the most Tonys between the opening production and the 2008 revival. They have won 17 Tony Awards, including each one of the acting categories.
Wow.
It's the only musical that has ever done that. And it's a show about these two sets of lovers who they have problems, as all relationships do, but their problems are based in prejudice. So we have Emile, and who was married to a French girl, a Polynesian. And Nellie comes and finds out that he has two Polynesian children, which throws
a
little bit of a wrench into their relationship.
Claire is smiling at
yes,
you right
exactly.
now.
And the same thing with Cable and Liat, that, you know, Bloody Mary, who is Liat's mother, tries to hook her daughter up with the Marine Cable, and that doesn't go as well either.
Yeah, it sounds rather complicated, but that is the nature of great art. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have these two, this lovely story and this lush music, and then into that we have to throw a little conflict to make it interesting.
Yeah, interesting conversations for Valentine's Day.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So, Keith, we've talked with you. Let's talk with Claire a little bit. Tell us about your character, Nellie Forbush.
Nellie is a wide-eyed dreamer. She has she really is good at heart. You know, she's grown up in Little Rock, Arkansas, and has led a very sheltered life until the war, and she decided to join the Navy to help and be a nurse. And so she ends up on an island in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the South Pacific, and runs into all of these people that she has never conceived of existing in the world. She had no idea people lived like this right out here in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. To meet a you know, beautiful, handsome, you know, French planter. It's completely thrown her world upside down. She falls madly in love with him, and also comes up against a lot of her, you know, deep-seated prejudices and things that she had no idea that, you know, were inside of her. And she comes face to face with it when it at the end of Act One she realizes.
We should say that it all's well that ends well, right?
Well, maybe you'll have to come see the show. See the
we should finale. Also say this is all based on the book by James Michener, Tales of the South Pacific.
Right, yeah.
So these were stories that he collected from the actual sailors and Marines and Seabees that were in the South Pacific.
Well, we've been working with Toledo Opera and bringing in a lot of people who are associated with the actual veritable war, you know,
absolutely.
That took place
with
the
our
South
Opera
Pacific.
Out of the Box podcast.
Yeah, Yes, which you indeed.
So brilliantly produce.
Thank you. I'll take it. Okay. Well, let's start with you, Ernest Green, who is the conductor of South Pacific. Have you worked with these two singers before?
I have worked with Keith. I have never worked with Claire, but I will tell you they are both absolutely delightful. As a matter of fact, the entire cast is, speaking as a conductor, I will tell you they are, it's like a dream cast.
Yeah.
You know, everybody is very collaborative. We sort of are able to really work a lot of fine detail. You know, oftentimes when you go into a production from out of town as the conductor, you are making sure that you keep the train on the tracks and going in the right direction. But with this cast, we really are working at an incredible level of detail musically and scenically with Jim. I mean, it's you know, Jim is an incredibly collaborative director, and so we're able to really plumb the depths of this piece, which is very complicated musically. Yeah. It's complicated musically, and it's complicated in terms of the story and the book.
Now, you last worked together, both of you, for Ragtime, right? Yeah.
Exactly, Ragtime. And yep. Before that, Merry Widow.
Correct.
So. Yeah. You're kind of the go-to for this kind of music.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I love this music, and it's the perfect thing for an opera company like Toledo Opera to do. It's perfect.
Yeah. Well, let's hear some music. We're going to start with Claire. What are you going to sing, and what are the circumstances? Paint a picture for us.
I'm going to sing a song called I'm in Love with a Wonderful Guy. And this happens in Act One after Nellie has thought long and hard about, you know, whether or not she wants to, you know, commit to Emil and live here in the middle of the South Pacific. And she has tried to convince herself otherwise, and then decides that no, there's nothing better for her, and she really is truly, madly, deeply in love with this wonderful guy.
Great. Well, we'll hear it now from Claire Lydon, Kevin Bilsma at the piano, music of Richard Rodgers here on FM 91.
An expression I use. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love with a wonderful guy.
I'm in love with a wonderful guy, singer Claire Lydon, along with Kevin Bilsma at the piano. She was performing a song from Toledo Opera's production of South Pacific, which is happening Valentine's Day weekend, Friday night, February 14th at 7:30 p.m., Sunday, February 16th at 2 p.m. That's a matinee performance. You can find more information at toledoopera.org. Claire, great performance there. I love your voice. I'm curious, you know, how do you deal with the whole musical theater versus opera thing?
Oh, what a great question. So I love to do what's called crossover work. So I sing in opera and operetta and musical theater as well. Golden Age musical theater like this, as well as contemporary pieces as well. And I love the challenge of using my instrument in all these different kinds of technical ways and also storytelling ways. I mean, there's nothing like storytelling in opera because it is so driven by the music and the emotion. And in musical theater, because, you know, the scenes in South Pacific are expertly written, but they're long book scenes. You know, it's almost like a play with music inside of it.
Yeah.
And it's really, really fun to get to stretch all of those muscles. And I find that my training in opera, I studied bel canto as well as, you know, musical theater and acting, has really informed my ability to perform this kind of a rep. And, you know, I'm classically a soprano, you know, I sing roles like Mabel in the Pirates of Penzance. And I think the ability to sing something like Nellie, where it sits a little bit lower in the range, a little bit more belty, comes from that operatic training. So it's kind of a perfect marriage.
Yeah. Well, Keith, you kind of fit into that category a little bit. Why don't you talk about your career as well?
Well, you might remember that you and I nerded out a bit over John Reardon when I came on the show.
You did more than I did.
I did more than you did. I identify with a singer like John Reardon, who is bright, kind of on the high end of the baritone spectrum. Yeah. And one of the challenges with this role is that it was written for a basso cantante.
Ezio Pinza.
Ezio Pinza.
Yeah.
So there's that element. I'm kind of in a different tessitura than I'm used to. But there's also trying to sing with some infusion of French accent,
yeah,
while still being intelligible, and that's
okay.
That's challenge.
Well, we'll find out with one of the signature tunes from South Pacific. James, before I go any further, let me ask you, and it's sort of related to the question that I've asked these two singers. What is a musical doing in the midst of your operatic history at Toledo Opera?
Well, it's been a trend around the nation for probably about a decade. I think Chicago Lyric and Atlanta Opera started this 10 years ago, where they started infusing Broadway musicals into their seasons. They're very popular, which is a good thing coming out of COVID that we can sell tickets, and South Pacific is selling very, very well. But it's also this story, especially in these Golden Age musicals, take bigger voices. They take more trained voices, especially right. with Keith and Emile Debeck. But it's something that if we can do it with those trained voices and on an operatic scale, as far as the production, the full orchestra, we're using a 30-piece orchestra, which, you know, hasn't been done on Broadway for a while. You know, that's what we want to do at Toledo Opera. We're never going to do, you know, Mean Girls or Legally Blonde or anything like that, but something that, not that those aren't good musicals, but something that's more operatic in scale is what we're going to do, because that's what we do well.
Yeah, Rodgers and Hammerstein definitely fit that bill. Well, let me ask you, Claire, what made you decide to get into this in the first place? I mean, do you have musical memories, or do you come from a musical family? I mean, how does that work for you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, so I grew up in New York, and my parents met doing community theater, Gilbert and Sullivan in a light opera company called the Village Light Opera Group in New York City. And so they met doing shows like Carousel and HMS Pinafore and things like that, Merry Widow. And so I was a, you know, toddler running around these rehearsals.
And they told you never to sing, right?
Well, you know, it was such a passion project. You know, like all of these, you know, aunties and uncles from this theater company were like my family. Like my parents had Hail Poetry sung at their wedding, yeah. You know? And so I was just around it my whole life. And when I went to college, I was like, I'm not doing theater. No, you know, like I'm going to strike out on my own. And I ended up right back here because I couldn't stay away. I think it's just in my blood.
Yeah. Keith, do you have any stories to tell about how you got interested in music in the first place?
Well, I started out on trumpet in fourth grade. That was sort of the family instrument. My brother and father had played. Yeah. But it's an interesting connection, or segue rather, to this production and to when I started singing. I had loved playing in the pit orchestras in high school. Kind of got bit by the theater bug there, and then we actually moved out of state, and the high school where I ended up didn't have enough people for a pit orchestra.
Mm.
And they needed guys for their show, which was South Pacific.
Wow.
It was the first show I ever did.
You've come full circle.
And I auditioned, and I played Emile Debeck, and they grayed my temples, and I wore my dad's sport coat. And
so you already knew the score is what you're saying.
Yes.
Ernest, let me ask you, how do you deal with these popular tunes? I mean, all of a sudden, foot start tapping in the audience. How do you make it your own? What do you bring to that and make it a little different than maybe what we've heard before?
All right, I just want you to know, they got the easy questions. One of the things that I do, I am, and Jim can sort of attest to this, I am really obsessive about digging into a score that I'm working on. And that can mean going back and working through the whole thing, getting an idea of what I think about it, and then going back and doing it again as if I've never seen it before. And I do that over and over. And I do that whether I'm doing a Brahms Requiem or I'm doing South Pacific, because to me, music is music is music is music.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I treat everything that I do with great care and reverence. And so, for me, it's not about making the music and the tunes my own as much as it is finding a way to support Jim and the singers telling the story. Yeah. So my job is to make sure I'm paying attention to what they're doing in rehearsal and figure out how to make the music support the story that they're telling.
So, if only all conductors felt like you, that'd be great.
Well, you know, it's how I do it. And Jim was laughing. I got to my first rehearsal. He said, "So how many copies of South Pacific is this for you?" Because I went through like three because I marked them all up. And actually, this one has a hole erased in a page. I'll show it to you. But it's in one particular place where I wrote something, changed it, wrote it, changed it, wrote it. And I think that's what you have to do. And I think that's one of the things I love about working with Jim and this company is you get to – you're not constantly having somebody looking at the clock. You get to actually explore this stuff, and they want you to explore it, which is good.
Well, the reason I ask about that is because we've got one of the signature tunes of the musical coming up from Keith. Why don't you set this up for us, Some Enchanted Evening?
Sure. So Emil has been courting Nelly for about 2 weeks. They met at a dinner at her officer's club. And he's getting closer to finally just coming out and asking her, but he's kind of gauging where she's at, and I think is appealing to her maybe sense of very, very, very recent nostalgia, references this night, this evening where they met. Uh-huh. And you know, as I said before, he wants to build a life for himself. He is determined to hold on to this.
Singer Keith Fares with Kevin Bilsma at the piano. This is Some Enchanted Evening from South Pacific here on FM 91.
Some enchanted evening, you may see a stranger.
Baritone Keith Fares with Kevin Bilsma at the piano, performing one of the signature tunes from Toledo Opera's production of South Pacific. That was Some Enchanted Evening, if you didn't know already. Keith is back at the microphone now, and I want to ask you two, Keith and Claire, about the lack of duets. And maybe Jim wants to sign in on this and talk a little bit. There, you know, normally we would have you singing a duet up here, but we don't have that. We have a lot of arias and soliloquies that are, you know, beholden only to you. So I wonder if you have something to say about that.
Well, when Rodgers and Hammerstein were writing this, they wrote it for Mary Martin.
Right.
So they went back and, you know, they already had her in mind. And when they were talking with her, she said, well, who's going to play Emil Debeck? And they said, well, we're thinking of Ezio Pinza, who was a famous Metropolitan Opera basso profundo. I mean, right. Huge voice. And that was back in Broadway times when there were no microphones. And Ms. Martin said, that's a problem. They said, no, we have it all covered. And they wrote this show. They don't sing together, but just a couple lines. So you mentioned the soliloquy. There, one of them is called Twin Soliloquies, where Nelly sings her thoughts, Emil sings his thoughts, and they never sing together. And it's interesting because they did that with the ensemble as well. The men have their songs, the women have their songs, and the only song they sing together is the fun entertainment for Thanksgiving called Honey Bun. Mm. So it's a really interesting way. None of their other shows are like that.
Well, Claire, you want to say something?
Well, it's just a testament to, you know, constraints breeding, being the stepping stone to, like, amazing creativity. Because Twin Soliloquies is such a very interesting and unique piece in that way. You're in your own world in a love duet. There is maybe a little snippet in the end of Act One where we do get to sing together, which is always a treat.
Yeah.
But I think that makes that moment even more dear and even more tender and more special because it's the only one.
Well, thank you guys for coming in today and talking with us a little bit about Toledo Opera's production of South Pacific. I mean, this is really something that hasn't been done in this area for a long, long, long time.
Long time.
Yeah. It's happening Friday, February 14th, a week from today on Valentine's Day at 7:30 p.m. There's also a Sunday matinee, February 16th at 2 p.m. You can find more information at toledoopera.org. And Toledo Opera is a sponsor of programs on WGTE. My thanks to everyone here, to Claire Lydon, Keith Fares, who are singers, conductor Ernest Green, director James Norman, and pianist Kevin Bilsma. You've been listening to Live from FM 81. I'm your host and producer, Brad Cresswell. The broadcast engineer for this program is Logan Cooney. Thanks for joining us today here on your public radio station, FM 91.